We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is getting very interesting. If you're just tuning in and just joining us, Trae Young and the potential trade of Trae getting up out of Atlanta looks like it's going to happen. We've got more information on that coming up. Stay tuned. That's on the way in about 10 minutes. Tomorrow, a very important press conference, which you'll hear live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as our owner, Arthur Blank, will address all the things that are going on with our football team, Mike. And we have a lot of questions. I know our counterparts in the media here in town do as well. Hopefully we'll get all of those questions answered and we can start to move forward on not just these interviews, but Mike, what's it look like? Who's on top of the leaderboard? You guys know, after yesterday when John Harbaugh became available, I'm all in. I want to try to make this happen any way possible. But maybe, Mike, there's another plan, and if you hire a president of football ops, maybe that individual, whether it's Matt Ryan or someone else, has a different plan as well.
That's the thing. A lot of folks out there, you know, fearing that, you know, now with all these job openings, Ravens are now part of the job openings, that somehow we're going to get skunked on the guys that the fans at least have earmarked as their number one guy while we figure out who's team president, probably Matt Ryan, who's the GM, yet to be determined, and then, of course, we figure out the coach. So a lot of this will be, you know, how much of the sense of urgency with Arthur? Because I think we all want it yesterday. But as you laid out to the listeners, you know, there's a whole sort of a protocol for when you can talk to these guys. And for many of the coaches that are still active, it was, well, that was the only real chance you had to talk to Clint Kubiak for a minute. All video conference. And then you don't get to talk for a while. So we'll see where it goes. I know this. I'm with you. I think Harbaugh's right there. I think I'd put Kubiak and Harbaugh. But the way it sounds, maybe we have to settle for Brian Flores or Kevin Stefanski. Now, Stefanski is interesting because when we mentioned him yesterday, a lot of folks went, bleh, when you brought the name up. But he's got a great rep around the league, and you see that. He's a two-time coach of the year. Now, do you put that on Stefanski, the circumstance, how bad things were in Cleveland, and not on him?
No. Look, you can only deal with certain circumstances as a coach as much as possible. I just feel like, you know, we keep talking about, are we going to find the quarterback and what's our quarterback situation? They never really did in Cleveland. Guys, think about what they did in the draft this last year. Think about it. They drafted Dylan Gabriel, turned right back around, drafted Shedeur Sanders, went out and got Joe Flacco, traded Joe Flacco, made Dylan Gabriel the starter, and then I said, oh, well, you know what? He's hurt. Let's make Shedeur our starter. This has been the issue in Cleveland. It's not Kevin Stefanski. That's right, Mike. Too much meddling in what's going on. I'm surprised that Andrew Berry still has his job, but he does, and he's going to help find the new coach there. But if you're asking me about Kevin Stefanski and coming in here and working with a young quarterback and the guy that we know is on the roster, Michael Penix, Mike, I like that idea. I think he's got a brilliant offensive mind, and I think sometimes we get caught up in the fact that their franchise hasn't won. Let me ask you guys this. When you look from afar about the Falcons, who do you put the blame on? That's the deal with Cleveland. Same kind of situation. They've had great play. Guys, they got the best edge rusher in the game in Myles Garrett. He just set the single season record. Like, it's not like they don't have players. So I'm not looking at Kevin Stefanski as a savior. All I'm saying is, Mike, he is a guy. When you say, I want an offensive mind to come in here and work with a Michael Penix, these are the kind of guys you're going to be hearing about. And one, because he's available. But two, it makes sense. But if you're asking me about John Harbaugh, and I'll say this. The thing that players have told me about him is, one, Mike, he is a leader of men. Mm-hmm. We throw this conversation or this phrase around a lot, but it's true. He's also very detail-oriented. And, Mike, you don't last 18 years in a place and win as much as he did if you don't hire the right people. I'm not worried about him coming in here and doing what Rodgers did, which was bringing in the wrong guys, and then you find yourself behind the eight ball. There are a lot of reasons to believe that Harbaugh, who is a culture builder, would be perfect here. There are some places that don't need that. They just need a head coach, Mike, with fresh ideas and maybe to galvanize the troops and say, hey, you know what? We're going to go in a different direction and guys get behind it. We need culture. We haven't had that.
No, I mean, with all due respect to the fans of Raheem Morris, we always enjoyed our time with Raheem, but we asked him week after week after week on our interviews, why can't you fix special teams? Why isn't that being addressed? Those kind of details. The problems we had with the offense. Why third down? Why was our third down rate, conversion rate, one of the lowest in the league, and it never got it fixed? So here's a guy that brings accountability, but he is not an offensive or defensive coach. He is a CEO.
No, he's not.
So you trust him to go get the right guys. Here's the question in the Q&A, though, that will, and this is a lot of Baltimore Ravens talk today on Dukes and Bell, is an Athletic report that says, well, he was standing by Monken, and Monken and Lamar, they didn't talk. And management basically said, Monken's got to go, and he said, no way. So while I respect the guy standing up for his coach, did you stand up for the right guy?
Well, it was working. I mean, I get the fact that they underachieved this year, but again, injuries hurt them. You know, everybody says they don't make excuses. The reality is we know injuries, you're not the same team when your major players are out. Lamar was missing time. They had multiple guys on defense missing time. But, Mike, I think when you stand up for your guys and you do that, it's not about loyalty. It's about integrity. I want to work for a dude like that. Now, does that mean Todd Monken maybe is not a jerk? No, it doesn't mean that. He can still be a jerk, but the idea is you know and respect the guys that you're working for. And let me tell you something. Around the league, there's not an assistant coach that's looking at that and going, if that's true, or they know because they're getting word,
right.
Dude, I go work for Harbaugh in a heartbeat.
Right. I mean, like, there's risk involved. We were debating this on our pre-show. You can catch it on Twitch and YouTube in the morning with Day-Day and Oren. We were talking about you don't want to get with, like, the next, you know, hot thing because we've been burned too many by the next hot thing. And, you know, Mike Smith was a nobody. Nobody in Atlanta knew who Mike Smith was. Nobody. You had to Google him. Hell, we had to Google him at the time. Was Google a thing back then? It's a while. But anyway, 2008, when we got Smitty, and he's arguably the best coach we've ever had. But the logic behind Kubiak is you're hoping to get the next Sean McVay, a bright offensive mind, that regardless of how weird this gap year is going to be, he can make that work, and he'll fix Penix Jr., if you're so inclined. Which gets us back to another question. Are they demanding you make Penix Jr. work here? Or are you will be able to dictate your terms about how this you think the quarterback room should look in Atlanta moving forward?
It is an interesting question. And by the way, as we talk about all of this, and we're going to talk to our buddy Steve Weiss, and we'll get his thoughts from NFL Network coming up here in less than 6 minutes. The other part about all of this, we in trouble, y'all. Have y'all looked at this home schedule for next year? We in trouble, y'all. I'm being serious.
Are you talking about trouble like I won't be able to move these on Ticketmaster?
No. This is like maybe the best home schedule we might have had in 20 years.
So I will recoup. Danger, girl. I will recoup those season tickets.
Listen to our home opponents. We do not know the dates. That's not going to happen until after the draft in May. We know that. And it's a big deal. Schedule release. But I'm just telling you.
One of us is in deep trouble.
We're in trouble, y'all. Bears come into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, playoff team, Caleb Williams. Lions, Jared Goff. Bengals with Joe Burrow. Purdy comes in with San Francisco, playoff team. They may win it all. Who knows? Kansas City and Mahomes are scheduled to come here again. The Ravens with Lamar, Mike, are coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Oh, man, it's going
to
be electric. Electric. Especially if John Harbaugh is on the sideline.
And then we still got to deal with Baker. We still got to deal with that guy in Carolina who beat us and looks like a superstar.
You mean we gave
he's 5'4".
448 yards of offense. Please get off the Ulbrich thing, fans.
Mike, Caleb, Goff, Burrow, Purdy, Mahomes, Lamar.
Let me tell you something. Two words. Chuck Smith. Chuck will be coming with John Harbaugh. Big Chuck Smith, Joe, Day-Day. And then Big Chuck Smith will take the greatest. We got the greatest young talent as of edge rushers in the league. And we will be leading the league in sacks, as you and I were just talking about. You mentioned off the air. We'll be leading the league in sacks for a decade. Big Chuck Smith, Joe. How about that?
You in danger, girl.
We in trouble. We have to get this right.
I think the Chiefs and us will probably be the Munich game, too, by the way.
Okay.
If that's what we're hearing.
Either way, I hate that because we lose a home game, by the way. I do hate that because this schedule, I'd love to see all these quarterbacks in our backyard. But this is daunting. And I know things happen, and we don't know what that's going to look like. But based on what you know right now, that's arguably 6-7 of the best quarterbacks, of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league right now with what you know. And again, Bears, playoff. San Francisco, playoff. Lamar, on the brink of the play. Like, you just look at their history. And whether, you know, Mike, we had this conversation about Purdy, and I'm more of a Kyle Shanahan guy because I just think he makes guys better. But give Purdy his due. Like, if they run the table and they go into the Super Bowl again this year, that'll be his second, you know?
Right. I mean, look, we're going to have to get a coach in here. And again, we'll try to get to Arthur Blank and the media will be asking the questions about what exactly is the streamlined vision that he talked about in the open letter and how streamlined will it be compared to the way we've operated the last few years. I told Carl there was a CBS Sports article that said a team that hired a consulting firm found everything was wrong, not exactly the most appealing job. Okay, touche. But you're hoping that and I said to Carl, and I'll ask Arthur, maybe we'll get the answer, but, you know, why not just make Matt the guy, make Matt the GM and the president, and get good, surround him with good people that have been executives, and let the man cook.
That's my plan, Mike. That's what I want to do.
Arthur, are you going to meddle? Wait, I'm going to reverse. I'm not a meddler, Mike. You know that.
That's all I do. That's all I do. I own all these businesses. That's all I do.
So, look, we're going to find out.
Mike, you've been to the PGA Superstore. There's a sale going on right now.
I love it. And by the way, I love your, what's your golf league called? I love that golf league.
The LG, LGT, you, whatever it is, we win.
Bet I watch it every night.
Atlanta did win yesterday. That's right.
You bet we
TGL.
Did.
TGL.
You bet we did.
Your buddy Bunker knows.
Andy's like the mascot.
He's been to Orlando.
Arthur, tell me more about the women's soccer team.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Boo! You asked that question.
Tickets are going to be very cheap.
No, it's going to be very popular, and Arthur's behind it, and it's going to be great. I'm just saying, if you had the context, if you asked that question tomorrow, you'd look like an idiot.
I know. But look, we love him. We make fun. You know what he wants? You know what we want?
To win.
Can we find a way to do that? You got to find the right people.
Yeah. I mean, look, throw some more names at you. We talked about this earlier. Mike McCarthy. We'll ask Steve Weiss about some of these names, too.
Yes, we are.
Is McCarthy, to so many fans, just a retread? Because that's the only pushback we get on Harbaugh is 18 years in one place. You know, unfortunately, did not maximize the talent. And, again, if you were being stubborn with your OC, then you misplayed your hand with Lamar Jackson.
Man, y'all crazy as hell. Give me 10 years of Harbaugh and all those playoff runs. Are y'all crazy?
I'm just being devil's advocate. I'm not comfortable in this role, but yes, we would be looking up at those 8 years, take Harbaugh's last 8 years, take our last 8 years.
We haven't had a run like that. Oh, I don't know.
Ever.
Ever. Steve Weiss, NFL Network, joins us next. Decisions. There are currently 7 jobs that are open. Obviously, Ravens, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Cardinals, Browns, Raiders. And we need some input. So we called our guy Steve Weiss from NFL Network. We love him. He's very familiar with this market, having been here. You get a chance to watch him on NFL Network. And, Steve, you guys have been crushing it, man, with all this stuff coming down over the last few days. Mike and I want to start, brother, with the thought about the Falcons, because everybody keeps talking about how good this job is. Is it the most attractive job? We played your soundbite from you and Baldy talking about this the other day. But for our audience, Steve, who hasn't heard what you have to say about this Falcon organization, where do you rank this job?
Well, of all the vacancies, and thanks for having me on, I think it's the top job just because of the talent that's in place, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the structure they're trying to put in place. I know it's kind of crazy with them using 2 search firms, but this is kind of the dynamic you see on championship teams like the Ravens, like on teams that consistently win, in terms of having a, you know, player, a person, the head of the football ops, then a GM, then a head coach. You know, and that football ops person, who he believes is going to be Matt Ryan, he's the guy who's close enough to fill the blind spots of everybody else. Because remember, most of the leaders in that Falcons building have been there forever. Rich McKay, Greg Beatles, you know, even though he's been in different roles and is going to do great in his new role, they've been there forever. So there's blind spots. So, you know, I think it's a very good job. People will say, well, you know, there's all this. There's talent there. Like, there's a great saying that's kind of been surfaced lately is, a great roster does not a team make. Right. You've got to be able to have the great coaching and everything else to have a great team. And that's what Arthur Blank felt was not happening with the talent on that team.
And that's the thing, Steve. Obviously, we're close to it here. It's just we feel we got some really great pieces. And the quarterback situation was tough this year with Penix and the kind of reverse of last season. But, you know, we missed 4 or 5 games with special teams and just basic blocking and tackling. So we feel this team, to your point, can make the move. How difficult the quarterback situation will be this time? And do you think they'll have a candidate? Will they tell the candidate, you got to make Michael Penix Jr. work, or will they be open to some other ideas?
Well, I mean, you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, so you're going to hire a coach to try to make it work.
Right.
He's somebody you felt was that talented, but you better have a good backup in place and probably a good younger backup. You're not going to get a Mac Jones. You're not going to get a Malik Willis. Those guys are probably going to get some potential opportunities to start. But you get somebody who can come in and win you ball games like Mac Jones did for Brock Purdy, you know, in those types of scenarios, until you figure things out, you know, with a Michael Penix. But you come in with a coach who's just like, hey, I know you like playing the pistol, but sometimes you're going to have to get under center. Sometimes you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. Right. And Penix will do it. I mean, that's just how it is in the NFL if you want to have a long career.
Steve, the reports about why John Harbaugh and the Ravens, you know, broke up, various reports out there about him, you know, not wanting to move on from his offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. Well, what are your thoughts on Harbaugh? Because as soon as this news broke yesterday late on the show, like today, I went crazy. I was like, this guy's at the top of a list. We got to make every effort to try to get Harbaugh here because I think we need culture. Culture building is a big part of what we haven't had here. There are some other teams on this list that, hey, they just need a coach, right? They just need somebody to come in and you know, fill the void. We need more than that, and that's why I think he's perfect here. What are your thoughts on Harbaugh?
I think he'd be great there because, you know, the one thing that Arthur Blank has done is he's, other than Raheem Morris, hired first-time head coaches.
Right.
Right, from Jim Mora to, you know, to Bobby Petrino, first time in the NFL, you know, Mike Smith, Dan Quinn, you know, guys like that. So you get someone who's kind of seen it all, who's been through a whole lot of crisis management, crisis prevention. You know, he's seen a lot of the things. And again, with that new structure they're putting in place, that's what he comes from. Right, so I think he's somebody who also comes in with significant gravitas that if these players think they're better than what they are, he'll put them in check. If they think they're not as good as what he thinks they can be, he'll get them better. Plus, he'll be able to get it, he'll be able to staff this thing up pretty quickly. But I mean, they're going to do a pretty extensive search. You know, I know they're going to they've asked to bring in some guys like Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak's a hot name, man.
Right,
he is a hot name out there. And you know, and here's a dandy for you. Who is So Matt Ryan, let's suppose he gets that director of football personnel job, right?
Yeah.
Who was his OC when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl?
Right, Shanahan.
Okay, where's Clint Kubiak? Where's what family is that from?
That's the Shanahan tree.
Yep.
Okay, so let's connect a few dots here. So let's see if that happens. I'm not saying it will, but let's, you know, that could be something that could be working in the favor a little bit.
Absolutely. There's no doubt.
I love Kubiak. I think everybody, Steve, wants to get in, on paper – you want to get that next Sean McVay, the guy you hope is going to be there for, you know, what Harbaugh was years ago. You want to be the guy that's going to be there for decades. What do you think about Ian Cunningham as a GM?
He's on everybody's short list. He's going to get a GM job somewhere, sometime soon. He's interviewed for several jobs. You know, he's coming from Chicago where they have stacked that roster the past couple of years. But you know, he's also someone who's, you know, one of these real cerebral. He's a personnel guy, but he touches a lot. You know, he checks a lot of boxes, and so he's someone who will lay in the background, but kind of do his work steadily. He's someone who probably also wouldn't mind if Matt Ryan is the guy who is the one who answers the questions and not him. So, but he's well thought of in NFL circles.
We're talking with Steve Weisch, guys from NFL Network here on Dukes and Bell. As all of this news around the league is going on, and it's obviously a great time because there's just so much stuff going on, and we don't know how it's all going to shake out, which is why you need to be here every day. I also want to get your thoughts, Steve, on these games, man, this weekend. I love Wild Card Weekend, and I'm just curious to know what you think in regards to some of these matchups. Is there one that you find the most intriguing? I keep looking at this Buffalo at Jacksonville matchup.
Yep.
Everybody just thinks Buffalo is going to roll to the Super Bowl. And I don't know about that.
I don't know who thinks that. I mean, they could. But, I mean, the one thing is, especially in the AFC, you can't look at any of these wild card teams and think they can't go on the road and win. Mm. Right? That like a Buffalo. Because some of those teams have experience, but there's no favorite. And that's what's so intriguing. But I think that Bills-Jags game is going to be a real truth teller because I'm a believer in the Jaguars. Their defense is taking names. They're making plays. They take the ball away. And offensively, since they traded for Jacoby Myers, I know who's from that Atlanta area,
right.
he has opened up their offense. And now Liam Cohen is dealing. We're seeing Clemson Trevor running, throwing, moving the ball to a million different receivers every game. I think they are a very, very dangerous team. When I saw what they did at Denver, that's when I was like, okay, they might have something here. So that's a team I've really got my eye on. But then again, they can get tripped up by the Bills this weekend too.
Right. And then I think we ask you every time we have you on. I mean, Jalen Hurts in the passing game, if they can just get that on track, the Eagles should be the best team in the tournament based on everything they've got.
Well,
or not in your mind. Your hesitation says no.
I'm not going to say they're the best team in the tournament. I think the Rams and Seattle are the two best teams in the NFC. In terms of having defense, explosiveness on offense, the thing that's scary about Seattle We know their defense is good, and the way that they took apart the Niners' offense last week was totally frightening. I was at that game. But they're running the ball now, right? The past month, what they have been doing in the run game is explosive. They're kind of like what Philadelphia was doing last year with explosive runs, hitting 15 and 16 yarders like clockwork. You know, they can go on a 10-play drive, or they can go on a 5-play drive because JSN and those tight ends they have there are so good. You know, they just – the one thing is Sam Darnold over the past 5 or 6 weeks, he's been giving it up. You know, he hasn't been great. And the fact that they're running the ball now, they can protect him a little bit. And I think that's why they're such a scary team.
Steve, when we talk about, you know, the league itself and what's going on around the league, you look at these teams in the playoffs, and we were talking about it, right? The quarterback play. The Packers questionable? Like, how are you viewing the Packers? Because there are rumors out there like they're going to let LaFleur go if they lose. I don't necessarily buy that. And then
I dare them.
I agree. I agree. And then the whole Tomlin thing. Like, you know, they play Monday night. Texans are really good. But if the Steelers lose, Tomlin's next. Like, there are more jobs that could be lost. Do you believe that?
Mike Tomlin's not going to get fired. I know that. I've heard that from people in the organization. Okay. If he wants to leave, that's him asking out.
Okay.
And I've not ever gotten any inclination that Mike Tomlin does not want to coach in Pittsburgh. I know the Matt LaFleur thing, people are like, you know, he's tough to get along with. Kind of like with Jim Harbaugh is with the Niners. They're like, we don't care if he wins the Super Bowl. He's just too much of a pain. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that bad with Matt LaFleur, but if it is, he will jump John Harbaugh as the top candidate on the block. And that's one that people – that you move things to get him into your building because he can coach.
Right. Okay. I mean, believe me, we always lobbied at the time. He was a quarterback's coach here, and they weren't prepared to make him the OC. We went with Sark. We know how that went. Steve, it is, again, our man Steve Weiss, Wickedy Weiss from NFL Network. All right, answer this. The Broncos, they might be the number one seed, but that's fool's gold, and they just don't have the offense that can handle the playoffs.
I think they do have an offense that can handle the playoffs. I mean, again, there's no dominant team in the AFC. But their defense is so dangerous, and Bo Nix has learned to win so many close games, and they run the ball with R.J. Harvey. They're just inconsistent with it. But because you have a defense that can lock other teams up, you know, you can learn that you can play with those mistakes. It's much like Seattle in the NFC. The two number one seeds are so identical in so many ways, but. I like Denver a lot, okay. And you have to go play in Denver. I do not think they're fool's gold by any means.
Yeah, their defense is tough, no doubt. And look, Sean Payton's been here, done that. You know, I trust that he will find a way, but you're right about Bo Nix. They've won a ton of one-possession games and come from behind a lot this season. Hey, man, we got to get going, but, brother, we love your work. Keep killing it, and we're curious to see where this goes with our Falcons. Make sure you watch Steve on NFL Network. You're still doing the podcast, too, right?
I'm doing a lot of different podcasts. I do a lot of different things. So, I'm a moving target.
All good. Every time I turn your network on, you're on, man. Camera loves you.
Yeah, it does. All right, Steve.
I appreciate it, man. Always good catching up, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. He says if LaFleur gets fired,
he'll be the number one candidate.
Mike, I'm with it. Like,
well, we wanted him back in 2017, so I'll take him now in 2025. Yes, sir.
I just think they would be dumb to do that. I mean, Green Bay. And by the way, why are you creating problems for yourself that you don't absolutely have to have? We know what this coaching market looks like.
Right.
If you feel like, hey, we got a championship caliber coach, it's not our year. We didn't get it done, but. Sometimes I think these teams and these owners move and they make dumb mistakes.
And in case of Green Bay, the fans are the owners. They have a general manager, but unless that's where the tail's wagging the dog. Their wide receiver injuries the last couple of years, their inconsistency offensively, scoring some games where they just look very anemic and he's supposed to be an offensive genius. That's the devil's advocate argument, I guess, against them up there.
Gutekunst is the general manager, and he was the guy that decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers. That's worked out. But anyways, we'll keep an eye out. This weekend's going to be very interesting. All right, when we come back, it's happening. We don't know when, we don't know what time, but it's going to happen. It's Dukes and Bell. It's happening, guys. We just don't know when. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Trae Young being traded from the Hawks. And thanks to Steve Weiss for stopping by. If you missed that interview, go online at odyssey.com. Check it out. Great stuff from Steve Weiss. We got Hawks basketball tonight. We take on New Orleans. Here's why you should be cheering. not just for tonight, but throughout the season. We need New Orleans and the Pelicans to lose. And if they end up having the season that they're on track to have, Mike, we're going to get that first overall pick, which is going to be great. But the game itself is one thing. The other big story, Mike, is Trae Young and when this particularly might, you know, happen with him being traded. Right. The news today, guys, is that Trae is amenable to being traded to the Wizards. And as a matter of fact, this is one of the teams now we have learned that, Mike, he may end up going to. He has the Wizards as his top destination. That's not coming from us. That's obviously coming from his people. Shams reporting it today. We played it earlier for you. What do you make of all of this, Mike, and how soon do you think this is going to happen now?
Well, again, as soon as the plane tickets are sold and everybody can get this thing done, because as I just put up on social media, the reason why it's D.C., it's not like Trae goes, man, I really want to be a part of a huge turnaround and go through the same crap I just went through here in Atlanta. No, it's because they will give him the max extension. And he can make maximum dollars if he goes, and they got to sign off on it. So they do agree to build around Trae. They got Sarr. Remember we debated Risashe or Sarr when sure. We had the pick a couple years back. They will have more draft picks. They've got some cap space. So I'm not sure how quickly they turn things around. Travis Schlenk consults with them, right, with the Wiz?
That's right.
So Trae to D.C. because that's the team that plays ball. Trae wanted to go to Brooklyn and Minnesota, and they weren't willing to do the things that needed to happen.
A trade-triggered extension is what Trae probably will be looking at, because my guess is he'll sign a short deal. Guy, why? Because he can get out of it and sign another deal for lots of money. But we're talking about an estimate, guys, of about 3 years, $157 million. That averages out to about $52, $53 million
right.
per season. He's making $46 right now. This is why he would have opted out either way at the end of the season, deciding, hey, I know I can go somewhere else and make money or make more money, and then the Hawks would have gotten nothing for him. Here's another report from Mark Stein who says, look, if this happens, the Hawks apparently are interested in the Wizards' Corey Kispert if the Trae Young to Washington trade materializes. Kispert, by the way, and Mike and I were just talking about this, guy went to Gonzaga, he's about 25, 26 years old, 6'6 wing, gives you about 15 a game, but he's versatile. They like his game, Mike. And so this is another right. guy that you would add to this core that you feel like, hey, he can come in and help us right now. Obviously, C.J. McCollum would probably be a part of it because the money has to match up.
Right now for the season with the Wiz, he's averaging 20 minutes a game and 7.8 points. So he's down a little bit. But apparently they're stickling for that. So you get some wing on this team. There you go. But anyway, it just sucks because a lot of Hawks fans are going, you know, like, why? Why did this? Guys, we already covered this. It's Trae's time, if this is it, and it's wrapping up. It was, Carl, I used the phrase star-crossed, you know?
That's a good
phrase. The stars just never aligned. 2021, you know, you look at the talent. Look at the talent, you know, even with the guys who aren't producing right now with the Hawks, like Porzingis, who's been injured,
yeah.
although he did start the last two games. You look at, like, the team in 2021. You know, Lou Williams off the bench. Gallinari back in the day. Bogey. You know, John Collins. I mean, there's more talent right now with Jalen Johnson and Naw and everybody else right now. You know, than he ever had. The problem I have for the Hawks is the team let him down. There were times when we needed more leadership from Trae and him to buck up, but the team ultimately let him down. They never built and spent the money they needed to build off that championship. And then the craziest damn thing I said to Coral, two of the dumbest things in Atlanta, the Cousins Penix year and the going for DeJounte Murray and having DeJounte Murray, and you wasted two more years of Trae's prime time.
You did. He's not been traded yet, but I will say this. Trae is a great player who's had great moments in Atlanta. And the playoff runs were not enough, to Mike's point, not all his fault. 3 and 8 years, not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about what his scoring numbers are, he is the 13th highest career scoring average in league history. That's saying a lot. Third highest career assist average in NBA history. That's saying a lot. But the issue is, Mike, he also has the third highest turnover rate in NBA history. So, turnovers, yes, he had the ball in his hands a lot. Mike mentions this a lot. Does he shoot the ball from the three as well as we'd like to see? No. 35%, I think it should be upwards of 38 to 40. He's a 43% field goal shooter. That should be 45 to 47. I feel like, Mike, when you look at his tenure here and you go, what did we do? The Hawks are 221 and 272. That's a losing record in the games he has played in. So you can take the first couple of seasons out and say, you know what, team wasn't any good. Fine, that's usually the case when you draft a young kid that high in the draft. But even then, it's a losing record. So at the end of the day, I think just it's time. I don't have as much of a problem with this as I once did because I truly thought, you know what, let's build around him and let's try to get the right pieces. And now in a season where it feels like we have done that, it still hasn't come together because of injuries and all the things that we've discussed.
Right.
So, look, let's get what we can, and let's hope that Anse Soleil, Mike, and this front office, has a plan to make us better.
Well, the other thing is, and look, there's nothing to do with Trey, is what is Quinn Snyder going to do to get this team in gear? Well,
that's a whole other question.
Is there a team that is kind of – And Carl and I were just kicking this around. I've got nothing to base this on. This is just Spidey sense. Are there a couple guys in there that are just waiting for the other shoe to drop with Trey? And then roles and minutes are back to being defined, and here we go. And because, you know, to win all those games without Trey, and now you see the game. Did you see the game the other night against the Raptors? Couldn't get a rebound. Couldn't hit a shot.
Couldn't do jack.
I mean, offensively, they were stunted as heck. So with Trey, it is interesting. If you take it all the way back, you know, it was 15 we had that season. It was just some of its parts with Kyle Korver and Al Horford and Joe and all that. Remember that? And Millsap.
60 wins.
Right? And then you go back and it's like 3 years later, Trey comes in. Travis Schlenk's the guy. We're building Golden State East. You brought it up earlier. We never got the kind of tough badasses the Golden State had. We never found a Draymond. We never found that condition, that true splash brother that would have been Trey's, you know, maybe more athletic shooting guard consistently because Bogey's too hurt.
He is.
John Collins was too light in the dumper. They just never had the pieces that you had in Golden State if you were going to build that business model here.
Yeah. So what are we telling you is going to happen? We don't know when, but it is. And when this much smoke is there, Mike, and you have two teams that fundamentally have agreed, hey, okay, and you've got the players saying, this is the most important part. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going there because he knows what's at stake. And as I mentioned, you know, we can get into these contracts and all of that. But at the end of the day, Mike's right. This is more about him getting what he's going to get after he gets traded, whether it, you know, is this triggered extension that we're talking about or the Supermax eligibility where you're talking about, you know, what's it, 4 or 5 years, upwards of $200 million. I think he signs a short deal. Ups his yearly salary.
A LeBron-type deal, correct. And then does the extension.
And then Mike, you see where you're at. And by the way, you're talking about Trey re-upping again. What is he, 27, we said?
27, 28, yeah.
At 30, he's getting another $200 million.
Right.
That's what you're talking about.
And then Anse Soleil looks at the team. Now, as I said, it's got to work. Quinn Snyder. See, the next guy on my list is Quinn Snyder. You know, figure this thing out. Now, is Porzingis going to get traded at the deadline? Or are you going to let Porzingis walk? Trying to ramp it up and amp it up, or is this just been sandbagging with Porzingis and he's actually getting over this heart condition thing? Are you going to roll with Porzingis into the playoffs if we even make it, or are you going to trade him at the deadline? See, I mean, that's right, Day-Day. That's another question. I mean, is Porzingis going to be able to give you some solid minutes in an expanded role for a playoff run?
Well, if we're honest, because of his contract being so friendly again, I keep going back to the youth on this team.
Right. So just get him off the books.
Get him off the books.
Right.
And again, just whatever assets you can start that you can kind of build up to kind of build off what you have in Jalen, right. Risha Shea. Because I like Risha Shea. I'm not ready for them. I know some people are saying, I'm not ready to move on. Yeah. I mean, and he really hasn't been positioned to show what he really can do, if we're honest.
Real quick, we're looking at the injury report. By the way, we'll have the game tonight. New Orleans Hawks in town. Okongwu illness. He's questionable. Trey is out.
Duh.
And what did you tell me? Yes, Okongwu is out, so it's official. He's out. Okay, so he was questionable. And then what did you tell us, about the Wizards tonight?
So in addition to C.J. McCollum being out, it looks like the Hawks are angling for Corey Kispert this deal with Trey. So that's the issue right now.
But McCollum is going to sit, and he hasn't sat all season.
McCollum is not sat. He has not sat all season. And then also, too, another one curious.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton is also sitting tonight, too, and he also has a big $30 million contract. So maybe there's some speculation about that, too. But you're two high-priced superstars right now, C.J. McCollum and Chris Middleton both will not play tonight. And it's C.J.'s first missed game of the season.
What's the phrase, Mike? Bubble wrap?
Yep. Put them on ice. Put them on ice.
The real story is going to be if they're actually sitting on the bench.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. All right, guys.
So you see Trey at State Farm, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Say hi.
Correct.
Because it might be your last
chance. Bye-bye.
Well, no, I mean, that was...
Aloha means hello and goodbye.
He's right, you know.
Are you going to walk behind the bench tonight and do that?
I'm going to dinner.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, that would be... Is that Mike Bell behind the bench?
Trey's called him a hoe.
Yeah.
again.
All right. Turtles coming up, man, with the Bridge Show, but we've got the game tonight. Pre-game's at 7 o'clock, tips at 7:30. Tomorrow, real quick, we are at the Georgia World Congress Center down there for the Atlanta Boat Show. Lots of fun, 2 to 6. But, Mike, we will have a full show and a full set of sound from our owner, Arthur Blank, tomorrow. That's going to be key because the presser tomorrow – hopefully we get filled in on all the stuff and the plans as we move forward with the franchise. We're talking about the Falcons, guys, but Arthur's going to address the media tomorrow.
Right. I know a lot of fans want to see – is that like Arthur's going to go, but hold on, I've got a special announcement. And Matt Ryan bursts through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. And we've
come on out.
We're hearing maybe the weekend, maybe Monday for that. I don't know, maybe two press conferences. But either way, it's going to take a little bit more time than I think the fans have on as far as their sense of expectations when all this gets announced.
Yeah. And by the way, we're carrying that presser live only right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where you'll get a chance to hear what Arthur Blank has to say. So make sure you tune in for that. But if you're going to the boat show, stop by, man, and you'll get a chance to see us down there. We'll be down there as well. All right, we got to get out of the way, man, and clear our throat. Big O, great job as always. Day-Day, our executive producer. Big shout-out to Steve Weish. If you missed that interview, go check it out online, guys, at odyssey.com. As one of our listeners, I think his name was Evan today, was listening online, and he called in.
From North Dakota.
Yeah, you can do that each and every day. If you're missing something, and then you can hit the rewind button as well, but you've got to subscribe to Dukes and Bell and get all of our content. All right, we got to get out of the way. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. Yeah, we struggled 8 years now, not made the playoffs. Some say Arthur's a bad owner. Well, it could be worse. Listen to Jerry Jones today. He was asked by a reporter from Dallas, is your head coach Brian Schottenheimer going to hire your next defensive coordinator since you fired Eberflus? Here's Jerry.
Trump just said it. I'm running. Venezuela. Seriously. Shotty had everything to do with hiring Matt Eberflus last time, and that's not done as a negative. But had no way in the world he's here. If Shotty didn't want him here. Okay, let me be real clear about that. And he can tell you in his own words there. No way in the world if Steven didn't want him here. But I particularly had a party when we got him to have him come in. And I was excited about having the uniqueness of his staff.
As I said, it could be worse, Carl.
Could be. We in trouble, y'all. Have y'all looked at this home schedule for next year? Mike and I laid it out earlier in the show. All I'm telling you is this doesn't get any easier. And I want to feel comfortable knowing what the front office looks like, knowing who our next head coach is going to be. I know you're saying, Dukes, be patient. But when I'm looking at Caleb Williams and Jared Goff and Joe Burrow and Purdy and Mahomes and Lamar coming in here, we got to get this right.
Yeah, man.
Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You listen to us on the app by Missile Basis, where the deer and the antelope play.
Venezuela.